Welcome to Beyond the Code, AI and Law, a podcast series where we dive into the intersection of technology, law, and society. Today, we are thrilled to host Professor Chilizi Marwala, a pioneering AI expert, engineer, and thought leader. Professor Marwala is currently the director of the United Nations University and the United Nations Undersecretary General. Thank you, Prof. Marwala, for joining us.
Prof, welcome to the great University of Johannesburg in a different seat.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you very much. I'm very, very happy to be here University of Johannesburg. Yeah. It's an excellent university that is playing a very important role in the South African scene, in the African scene, and also in the world.
Yeah, Prof, it's good to have you. Thank you very much for setting time aside to come and have this conversation with me. I mean, you are my first guest on this podcast, Beyond the Code, AI and the Law. You are one of the few AI experts that I know who's very well clued up when it comes to issues of the law, and I'm so happy to have this conversation with you. Before, you know, we delve into this discussion on AI and the law, let's talk about Professor Chilizi Marwala, the man. Who is Professor Chilizi Marwala for those people who don't know the man, you know?
I'm your predecessor.
I thought you'd say I'm your boss.
I was the vice chancellor of the University of Johannesburg until 2023. Mm-hmm. But I was born here in South Africa, and in many ways, I am a South African at heart. It's not just a citizenship issue. I was born in the northern part of this country. I was educated in the United States, South Africa, and England.
Right.
And of course, I'm passionate about the development of people.
Right.
And I understand that for people to develop, they require tools. Mm-hmm. They require tools that also include education.
That's right.
That includes the technology that can be used in order to enhance their lives.
Right. Prof. Marwala, as I indicated, I mean, you are one of the few AI experts that I know who is not just an AI expert, but, you know, you are well, you know, informed when it comes to legal issues. And that's why, you know, I'm so excited to have you on this show. You and I, you know, authored this book. You remember this book?
Yes, Artificial Intelligence and the Law. Yes. I think it is why it was one of the first books of this type, especially in South Africa.
That's right.
In Africa. And it does have a very important African context.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, let's talk about this. Yeah. Let's start with, you know, one of the important issues that we also discuss in this book, access to justice, you know, Prof. Prof, how can AI tools, you know, like chatbots, predictive and analytics, you know, improve access to justice, particularly on the African continent? I mean, we hear about these backlogs, you know, or in courts, you know. I mean, countries like Kenya, we hear stories that there's a backlog of pending cases of about 6 million. This is massive. How can AI be used, you know, to deal with this type of backlogs, in your opinion?
Well, this is a very important issue. AI can be able to analyze vast amounts of legal documents, summarize, help legal scholars and practitioners summarize and write things much, much, much more quickly. But I need to go back to the fundamentals of algorithms.
Right.
That AI is based on a statistical concept called the maximum likelihood approach.
Right.
Which basically means it works well if the particular issue is well represented in the database.
I see.
Which basically means it works not too well for those rare cases that are not highly represented in the digital space.
Mm-hmm.
So whether we are using it to deal with issues of backlogs, there should always be a human in the loop.
That's right, yeah.
The human must always be there to make sure that these mistakes that these tools can make because of the limitations of algorithms, the limitations of the statistical methods that are being used, actually does not become another avenue of harming people.
That's right, yeah.
So, on the predictive side, it can be able to fairly well predict how the cases are going to go. But the legal system must not be devoid of human beings.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the reason for that is very, very simple. And you are a lawyer.
Yeah, yeah.
The famous statement in law that justice must not only be done,
yeah,
but it should be seen to be done.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, can people feel that justice is being done if it is being administered by a machine?
Yeah. Or an algorithm.
Or an algorithm that is embedded in a machine.
Yeah.
So, and in many ways, this concept of justice being seen to be done is actually a very human concept.
Yeah, feeling heard.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We don't see algorithms. We cannot be able to see them. If you are an engineer, you probably can be able to see the source code.
Yeah.
But you are not going to be able to see all the weights, especially if they run into millions. Even if you see them, you are not going to be able to make sense of that, which basically means whatever is going to come out of that.
Right.
It might be accurate,
mm-hmm.
but it is not going to lend itself very easily to the principle of being seen.
What are the challenges that African countries will need to overcome to be able to adequately adopt these AI systems, you know, in their justice systems?
Yes, I think the first thing that needs to be done, and I have to commend you for the excellent work you're doing in this regard.
Yeah, thank you.
It is to make the role players to become AI literate.
Yeah, it's important.
And I think the compulsory AI course for all the students at the University of Johannesburg is a good...
And we thank you for that. And we're continuing with that good work. Yeah,
it's a good start.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing is on the infrastructure.
That's right, yeah.
The infrastructure of AI is expensive.
Yeah.
It sometimes, and in many cases, it involves many, many, many data centers, which in many ways... in the African continent, they are not located in the African continent, with the so-called latency issues, which basically means the response times when you ask some of these tools from in Africa are slower than if you are outside Africa.
Wow.
And these are issues of equity. These are issues of justice.
Right.
Especially... when people are on systems where they have to pay, that it can easily lead to African customers getting the short end of the stick. So, and then the third part, in addition to literacy infrastructure, is the governance model. How do we ensure that AI is governed so well?
Yeah.
That it is safe when it is being used by young people, when it is being used by people from across the African countries.
Yeah.
And all these things require leadership. They require leadership that understands how to translate quite a fairly technical issue.
Right.
AI.
Mm-hmm.
into an everyday language so that you can increase literacy. It requires people to understand the depth of data centers.
Yeah.
And be able to create data centers that work for the environment because we know they are not environmentally sustainable. Right. If they're being powered by coal and they use a huge amount of water.
Mm-hmm.
And then Thirdly, they require policymakers who can be able to craft governance of AI systems that work.
Yeah, yeah.
And it boils down to multi-disciplinary educational experience. Mm.
You touched on the issue of policymakers. I mean, this leads to my next question, which concerns ethics and human rights, which is extremely important, you know. I mean, AI raises concerns around data privacy, bias, and accountability. And my question is, how should African policymakers address this to protect human rights in an AI-driven justice system? Or justice systems?
Well, I mean, I'm very glad that you have raised a very important issue of human rights.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Declaration of Human Rights is non-negotiable. Yeah. It needs to be implemented.
Yeah.
And of course, we understand that the biases that exist in our societies are actually playing out in the AI space.
That's right, yeah.
I'll give you an example that you've just mentioned, the issue of bias.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, bias cannot be completely eliminated. I'll give you an example. In South Africa, you have one of your languages that is called Tshivenda.
Right.
It's my mother tongue. If you compare it to English, English has more than 20 million Wikipedia pages.
Wow.
Tshivenda,
how many?
I think it's about 200.
Wow.
Do you think you can build a large language model in Tshivenda that will be equivalent to that in English?
Mm-mm.
No. Mm. So you have a discrimination or bias that is absolutely unavoidable.
Yeah.
And I think we should treat the issue of unavoidable bias the same way we treat the issue of side effects in medicine.
That's right.
Inform the people.
Yeah.
Tell them that, yes, you know, this system, because of the inadequacy of the presence of written text in this language in the digital space compared to English, is going to perform less than English.
Right.
Now, let's go back to the Declaration of Human Rights.
Yeah.
AI must be safe. It should not harm people.
That's right.
And when it is militarized, which it should not, it has to be governed.
Right.
But it also should be transparent. If I go to a bank and I ask for a loan, and it is denied, maybe somebody must explain why it is denied.
Yeah.
But transparency and security come at the expense of one another. When you make AI more transparent, it is less secure. When you make it more secure, it's less transparent.
Yeah.
Now, the issue is what you do about that. The lawyers have borrowed a very important term from statistics. They use the word the balance of probabilities.
That's right. Yeah.
The balance of probabilities is actually a statistical terminal.
I didn't know.
Yeah, of course. It is
on a balance of probability. Yeah,
of course, somebody has to
ponderance of probability.
Yes, somebody has to compute the probability. Maybe they would not they use heuristics to be able to do that, you know. So people must use the balance of probabilities to determine how much security they must embed in AI, and how and as a result, how much corresponding transparencies they're going to lose. It's a balancing problem, and the balancing problem requires the wisdom of a legal mind.
Prof, let's talk about policy and regulation. So my question is, what laws or policies should African governments prioritize to regulate AI in courts, such as, for example, electronic case management in South Africa, Kenya, or Nigeria? What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think the first thing that they should actually be able to do is that The principle of truthfulness must be embedded in the use of AI.
Yeah.
And the problem is that the AI experts never talk about truth.
Why?
They talk about accuracy.
Mm.
Because they are mathematicians.
Mm.
And truth is a very difficult issue to represent mathematically. In fact, truth in its purest form is when the accuracy is 100%. But when you are dealing with statistics, statistical tools like AI, it is never 100%. It's not. It should not be 100% because it is a memory, not a, it will be a memory, not a thinker. So the issue of truth must be embedded in the use of AI. The issues of safety. What do we mean safety? If there are personal information that should not be revealed.
Exactly.
If these are cases that are so sensitive that the witnesses must be given protection.
Yeah.
The AI system must be able to hide.
Yeah. What about also protecting the interests of vulnerable members of society, absolutely, children?
Yeah, we have an interesting case now that you have these people who are employed to label images so that they can be used to train AI system. And these people are actually being exposed to pornographic material. And apparently there is
a trauma
associated with that.
Effects,
you know, so these are new frontiers for the legal minds, and some of them we can be able to take the old legal frameworks unchanged.
Yeah,
some of them we have to modify the legal framework so that it is able to change. We are able to manage that change well.
Yeah.
Now, in the African continent, so many people.
Yeah.
It means we need to educate the people.
Yeah. And it's also an opportunity for people in different fields, you know, working together, like AI experts like yourself,
absolutely,
working together with legal experts like myself.
Absolutely.
Engineers, you know, working with, you know, bringing all people from different fields, you know, to come and, you know, bring their expertise, you know, in one place and working.
Absolutely. You know, I went to one of the large language models and I asked it a very simple question. Who is Chiane Omarwara?
Yeah.
Chiane Omarwara is my grandmother. In fact, there is a Chiane Omarwara scholarship at the University of Johannesburg.
Of course.
That when I was a vice chancellor, I donated.
The Faculty of Engineering and the Built Environment.
And then it said, Chiane Omarwara is the wife of the rector of the United Nations University and United Nations Under Secretary General. If you look at that statement, everything is right except wife.
Wow.
If you replace wife with grandmother, everything's right.
Yeah.
From an accuracy perspective, and we did the accuracy, it's over 98% accurate. Because there's only one word that is wrong.
Yeah.
Out of many, many words that are there, many characters that make the right words.
Yeah.
But from a truth perspective, it is false.
Yeah.
From a cultural sensitivity perspective, calling a grandson...
Yeah.
A husband of a grandmother is insulting.
Extremely.
These things are not culturally sensitive.
Yeah.
And when you come to the legal minds, you know, where the written text is very important, the accuracy, it can never be 100% accurate, but the precision of a legal text is very important. You wonder how many important words are missed out. And that is why I emphasize the issue of human in the loop.
Yeah.
In a criminal case, you know, it should be beyond reasonable doubt. Né? And unlike in civil cases, you know, where, you know, the balance of probabilities, you know, play out. So if it's beyond reasonable doubt, a criminal will walk free. Né?
Of course.
that too, tongue in cheek, you know, back to the outcome of your search, you know, I went to one of these large language models and I said, "Who is Letlhokompedi?" And he said, "Letlhokompedi is either unknown or it's a very private person." So he didn't have much to say about the, yeah. So I have got another question for you. So globally, you know, South Africa lacks in AI research. No, the global South, apologies, you know, lacks in AI research, you know. We have a lot of work to do there. So my question is, how can inclusivity be embedded in AI, in AI development to prevent this new digital colonialism that we are seeing?
Well, I think we must have a governance model, yeah, to make sure that inclusivity is embedded. Mm. From the onset, AI systems must be designed with human rights in mind.
Yeah.
I have a 7-step of how you can be able to do that. The first one is that when you are deploying AI, you must know the values that are going to underpin AI.
Right.
And as a United Nations high-ranking official, I always say that our values are simple because you derive them from two documents.
Right.
The Declaration of Human Rights.
Right.
And the UN Charter. Whether you're talking about transparency, whether you're talking about safety, it's issues of human rights. The second part is human behavior. Change the behavior of the people who are developing these algorithms.
Right.
And how do you change the behavior of people who are developing these algorithms? Through education.
Yeah.
Through an AI literacy course.
Yeah.
And so on and so forth. And then the third thing is incentives. What are the incentives that we put into place? Incentives can be positive and negative.
Yeah.
The legal instrument is a negative incentive. Mm. If you steal, we are going to arrest you and imprison you. You are not rewarding, you are punishing. You know. Then you can have a positive incentive where you say, if you do this, I'm going to give you this prize or I'm going to give you this amount. And both of them are actually necessary. And then the fourth thing is policies and regulations. Put policies and regulations. The fifth thing is standards. We need to have standards in the use of AI. The sixth thing is laws. Do we have AI laws in South Africa? The European Union has an AI Act. Who is going to advise our policymakers to be able to craft an AI law? And lastly is the issue of institutions that you put into place to drive responsible use of AI. And some of these institutions include University of Johannesburg.
That's right. Yeah.
Some of these institutions require the reimagining and recapacitation of our court, our criminal justice system.
Yeah.
Some of this might mean international governance models where United Nations actually comes into the picture and so on and so forth.
Now, looking at the future, now this is about the future outlook. Now, looking ahead, you know, to 2026, 2026 is still young, and beyond, you know, what revolutionary impacts will AI have on, say, Africa's judicial systems, and what gaps must we bridge, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, whether it is going to be a revolution or an evolution depends on how dynamic the legal system is able to adapt to an AI law.
Yeah.
Laws, by definition, don't change fast.
Yeah.
Because if they change too fast, you make mistakes.
Yeah.
And a mistake of a judge
can be costly.
It's much, much more heavy than a mistake of a shopkeeper who gives you, who did not know how to give you the correct change. It's not a life-threatening issue.
Yeah, yeah.
But for a judge, it might mean somebody's going to be locked behind doors. It's a life-threatening issues. So the African continent must adopt, the legal system must adopt AI, but they should be cautious, they should be supported, and you and I addressed ours virtual, you were physical, the judges, and we were talking about how they can capacitate themselves.
That's right, yeah.
Now, as the University of Johannesburg, you can be able to have a program where aspiring young technical minds with a mindset of legal stuff can go to work with judges as technical interns. Judges have people who come and work for them. Yeah. But here, I have never heard of something called a technical intern.
Wow. Technical
just to come. Technical legal intern is a better term.
Yeah.
That that goes out there and assists judges navigate these issues.
Wow.
And this must be people who are dynamic enough to be able to know what are the technologies, how can they be able to do. And even just advice, briefing them. These are the developments, they might have legal implications. What do we do, you know? Yeah.
Prof, for lawyers, judges, and lawmakers watching or listening to this podcast, what's one actionable step they can take today to prepare for AI in the legal space?
Well, I think firstly, they need to learn about AI courses.
Yeah.
And I'm very glad that the former Chief Justice did actually do your AI course.
That's right. Yeah.
That's a start.
Yeah, good start.
It needs to be expanded.
Yeah. And be made compulsory.
Be made compulsory, you know. Well, I mean, you are the lawyer. I don't know what is the implication of an ordinary person with a very pedestrian legal mind like myself. It should be compulsory for judges. But that's very important.
It is. You know?
It must be compulsory.
Yeah.
Certainly, the knowledge of it must be compulsory.
Yeah. Look, there are ways. I mean, we've got the South African Education Judicial Institute, which is a way that one could bring this, you know.
Yeah.
Prof. Marwala, how optimistic are you about AI fostering equitable justice in the global South, particularly?
To be honest, you see, I'm not too much worried about the AI system.
Yeah.
In that regard. I'm worried about the people who will be using the AI system.
Yeah. Yeah.
The human factors is still a big issue. AI has flaws.
Mm-hmm.
We are able to understand AI flaws better than we are able to understand the flaws of a bigoted judge or a judge who is going to take things under the table.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. Yeah. So, and like any other, I'm worried. How much the whole concept of fake news can be able to cloud evidence, the accuracy of evidence. I am worried about how much those judges who are using this. And we have a case in the United States where somebody quoted a case that does not exist.
Yeah, here in South Africa, we've got quite a few as well.
Because they were generated by AI.
That's right, yeah.
So, and some of this will not be detected in a small magistrate without much capacity. They probably will be interpreted as truth. What is true? I mean, the principle of precedence.
Yeah.
What will happen to the principle of precedence when information that is not entirely accurate through AI seeps into the legal space? That is why we have to be vigilant.
Yeah.
Very, very vigilant to make sure that that does not happen.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Professor Chilidzi Marwala, Rector of the United Nations University, Under Secretary General of the United Nations, sharing valuable insights with us on AI and the law. Prof. Marwala, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much. Kia liwua.
Paya Danke. Thank you so much.
And please go and read this book. It's an excellent book.
Yeah.
Artificial Intelligence and the Law, taking South Africa's legal system into the digital AI space.
That's right. Thank you.